you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Such a good opportunity for us to talk about another one of the challenges of the pandemic, that is the stress and anxiety that comes with it. LA County's Department of Mental Health last year announced a partnership with the meditation app Headspace. Anyone living in LA County could get a free subscription to it. This allowing people to do meditation and mindfulness practice. And we know that a number of apps have recently launched which allow people to be able to engage in mindfulness practice. Joining us to talk about the growing popularity during the pandemic is the Director of Mindfulness Education at UCLA's Mindful Awareness Research Center, author of several books on the topic, Diana Winston. Thank you so much for being with us today, Diana.
I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Let's begin for those who aren't familiar with the term, what mindfulness practice is. Can you just give us the brief definition?
Sure. I define mindfulness as paying attention to our present moment experiences with openness and curiosity and a willingness to be with that experience. So it's really about showing up in the present moment, not lost in the past, lost in the future, but right here, right now.
And share with us the ways the technology is helping to bring mindfulness practice to people wherever they are.
Well, it's interesting. When I first started doing mindfulness practice 30 years ago, of course, there wasn't the internet and all of these things. But in order to learn mindfulness, you had to find a teacher. And typically it was in sort of like a monastic setting or a retreat center. But now there's this explosion, this proliferation of all sorts of apps that one can learn meditation from, websites, courses, online learning, live. Of course, there's so much out there right now.
And are you seeing during this time of the pandemic, at least anecdotally, an increase in interest?
Absolutely. And what we've encountered, so I've had my center at UCLA for the last 15 years, but in the pandemic, there has been a huge amount of interest because people are under, as we know, enormous stress, enormous tension, uncertainty. There's high and higher levels of depression and anxiety. And mindfulness is a tool that can support that. It's not going to cure everything or at all, but it's a tool that might be helpful during this time. And so people have been coming to our center and then, of course, to all these other apps and things that are out there in order to learn these types of tools to work with their minds.
And how much of what we call mindfulness today comes out of spiritual practices, and how much of it comes from psychological research?
It's interesting. There's definitely kind of a merging of the two in some ways. So mindfulness is rooted in ancient Buddhist practices, but as it has emerged in the last 30 years as its own thing in its own right, we see that it takes on some of Western psychology, it takes on some philosophy, it's scientifically backed, there's a lot of evidence behind it. So it's become this combo of things, but it's really rooted in these ancient traditions.
Does mindfulness relate to psychological practices like cognitive behavioral therapy, things like that, which are, you know, very much user-centric, a person often doing on his or her own? Does it relate to that sort of growing field of psychology?
It absolutely relates to that. And what we've seen is an outgrowth of mindfulness-based programs, such as mindfulness-based cognitive therapy or acceptance and commitment therapy. And these are to use specifically with, say, depression or anxiety. But they're also the tools that you'll see in mindfulness. There's a lot of similarities, yet it's its own thing. So, for instance, cognitive therapy might ask you to replace a thought. Let's say you're having a really hard, anxious thought. It might ask you to replace it. With mindfulness, we would ask you to notice the thought and allow that thought to be there, but not get kind of sucked into the thought. So it's a slightly different approach. And what's found, the research shows that when they're used in tandem, it's really, really effective.
All right. If you have questions for UCLA's Diana Winston, we're at 866-893-KPECC. She's director of mindfulness education at UCLA's Mindful Awareness Research Center. Her books include The Little Book of Being, Practices and Guidance for Uncovering Your Natural Awareness. That came out just before the pandemic. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Why don't we take this opportunity right now to, you know, while people are at work or driving, might feel a little bit stressed out. Can you take us through a 1 minute meditation practice for stress relief right now before we break?
Absolutely. So I'm going to teach you everything in just 1 minute.
Okay.
Not exactly, but we'll give it a try. Okay, so wherever you are, just invite you to settle back. And of course, if you're driving, do not close your eyes. And just notice yourself wherever you are in whatever posture. You can feel your feet on the ground. And as you feel your feet on the ground, notice the weight and heaviness, touch. There's warmth. There may be some changing sensations like vibration. And then bring your attention up your body to your legs and back, perhaps supported by the chair, wherever you are. Notice your stomach area. Is your stomach tense or tight? See if you can allow it to soften. Take a breath. Notice your hands, softening your hands. And then also let your face, facial muscles be relaxed, soft. And notice everything that's happening for right this moment, letting whatever is here be here. Physical sensations, maybe what's happening in your thoughts and emotions, just let it all be here and take a breath. And then when you're ready, we can close this meditation.
All right. Thank you very much. Right there with you. We'll be back in just 1 minute on Air Talk. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. President Biden just announced a new vaccination goal to deliver at least one dose to 70% of adult Americans by July 4th. This as the administration pushes to make it easier for people to get shots and to bring the country closer to normalcy. Again, President Biden setting the new vaccination goal by July 4th, at least one dose in 70% of adult Americans. Right now on Air Talk, our focus is on mindfulness. I hope you were able to safely take part in that mindfulness exercise with our guest, UCLA Director of Mindfulness Education, Diana Winston, joining us on Air Talk. If you have questions for her, we're at 866-893-KPECC. I have to say, as someone who has done this many times, I was right there, even though I'm standing at the microphone. You did a wonderful job of guiding, and so I was able to be right there with you. And I wonder what we know about what physiologically goes on when we're doing that.
Well, there's lots of different things that go on in our bodies. So there's a reduction of, for instance, cortisol levels. There's a calming of the nervous system. there's also a kind of a quieting for some, a sort of like a calming and quieting of the activity of the thoughts that are happening. So there's a lot of physiological. I'm probably not going to go into all of it at this moment, but we're experiencing a general sense of well-being that can arise. But I also want to say it may not have happened for everybody. So sometimes people do this and they actually don't feel peaceful. And I won't say that mindfulness is for everybody. It's not. It could be some people really love it, really connect with it, and others don't.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I recall a few years ago when we talked about mindfulness, there were some concerns that for some people, this could be emotionally unhealthy. So what are those cases where this might not work?
Yeah, it's more likely that it could be triggering, for instance, of a, it's possible for someone who's had a lot of trauma, for instance, and they sit down to meditate without the proper instruction, without maybe someone that they can connect with about it, and they might have some like flashbacks or some early trauma triggered. And so there are many, there's now this whole movement within mindfulness that's called trauma sensitive or trauma informed teaching, where the teachers are learning how to work with this as it arises. That's the main risk that happens, and it tends to be people with previous experience, you know, previous situation in the past.
Bob in Studio City, writing on the AirTalk page, says, I took a mindfulness class with Diana online. It was great, and now her voice on their app puts me to bed almost every night. Bob, that's terrific. 866-893-KPECC. Holly in La Cunada, good to have you with us on AirTalk.
Hi, I'm calling because I really just wanted to thank Diana. I came across the app probably 2 months ago. I'm a nurse at a local hospital and was definitely looking for some way that I could learn meditation. I've had some experience in the past, but I wanted something more focused after this past year and what all the nurses have been dealing with COVID. You know, I felt like I needed some more tools for myself and also to spread the word. So I got the app on my phone. I've been using the guided meditations. I've been listening to the Hammer podcast. And just by chance, I'm starting one of the MAP classes tomorrow with Barbara and looking forward to it. And just wanted to thank you. It's a great app. Everybody should check it out if you're interested. And really just wanted to thank you. It's been definitely helpful.
Holly, yeah, can you be a little more specific? It's wonderful to hear how helpful. What are the ways, has it changed your interactions at all? Is it just a matter of lowering stress level for you? What has been the result?
Definitely lowering stress level and also helping me go to sleep, especially before, you know, if I know I'm waking up, I have a shift the next day, calming me before I go to sleep. Even, you know, on the app itself, there's 3 minute guided meditations, 5 minute, and then the podcast that pops up almost every week. It's just, if I have some extra time, I will do that. It really is just a stress reliever. And I also just needed a tool to help me be more present in the moment and just to deal with stress and, you know, on a daily basis, especially I would say, you know, with work and really for anybody. I mean, we've all been in this together.
Well, being a nurse, as you have, being right there at the front of all this in the pandemic. Holly, thank you so much. We're talking with Diana Winston, Director of Mindfulness Education at UCLA's Mindful Awareness Research Center. Netflix is doing a series partnership with Headspace, which includes a guide to meditation, guide to sleep. What are your thoughts about, you know, streaming services getting into this space?
I guess it was kind of inevitable. I think it's great on a lot of levels, and then there's some drawbacks. And the main thing is, these teachings are helpful to people, as Holly was just saying. And Holly, I'm so glad to hear that our UCLA Mindful app has made a difference for you. And so getting the teachings out in a wide way, widespread, is really important. And it's helping people. So it's reducing suffering, it's alleviating suffering, it's helping people with anxiety, with depression, with insomnia. And there's science to back that up. So that's all great. And then there's the issue of people doing it in an isolated way, like they're watching the show on TV or they're listening to the app, but something happens and they don't know how to work with that and they don't have a teacher that they can talk to. So it's really important that people also find ways to connect into live or online teachers to get support if needed.
Sean in Long Beach says, I've heard other people talk about their need to become their, quote, best self with mindfulness and make it more goal-based instead of experiential. They get really down when they don't accomplish exactly what they want. I'm wondering if Diana is familiar with this and what she thinks about it.
I think it's like anything. We have a plan. We have a goal. I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to go every day, and then we don't do it and then we get disappointed. It's the same with meditation. So it's not, there is this element of mindfulness practice where we encourage, like, don't worry about the goal, just do it. And really the results, the way we see the results of mindfulness is not how able you are to notice one breath after the next breath, but what happens in your life? Like, as we practice mindfulness, am I kinder to myself? Do I find myself more at ease? Am I less reactive with my kids or my coworkers? Am I just a little bit less stressed out? These are signs of progress, and they don't have to be about a goal. They can just be life changes.
Thank you so much, Diana Winston, UCLA Mindfulness Awareness Research Center, which she directs the education program on mindfulness. Great to have you with us. We appreciate it so much.
My pleasure. I love KPCC.
Oh, thank you. This also sets up a great second hour conversation with Wendy Troxell of RAND, author of Sharing the Covers, Every Couple's Guide to Better Sleep. And mindfulness practice, of course, relates to that.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.